Today's program is brought to you by Michter's Distillery. Visit Michter's.com to find out how their taste is everything, cost be damned attitude is creating some of the finest whiskeys available.
I'm Chris Guzmi.
And I'm Mary Izette.
From Ferment About It. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. We have a good one for you today. We're here with Mark Glassberg, who's the wine director of Statebird Provisions, one of the, I want to say the hottest, but everyone says that. You know, it's really one of the most popular, most respected places in San Francisco. Recent opening just a couple of years ago, but has already won the James Beard Award for Best New Restaurant, Bon Appetit, Best Restaurant in America, when they 8 months after they open. And Mark has been in the is a veteran in the industry, has worked at some really great places, both in San Francisco, such as Quince, and worked at 3 Michelin star restaurant in Germany, many years in the industry. Mark, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
I know I summed it all up quickly, but you have quite a career before working at Statebird, working at some pretty impressive fine dining rooms, serving some really high end wine, and now you're working at a more casual place, albeit one of the most popular places in San Francisco. What was that transition like?
You know, to me, it's been pretty seamless, actually. It's always about creating a good guest experience, whether it's fine dining or casual. And I just think that, it's been pretty seamless overall.
That's great. So we usually like to start with a segment called The Best Thing I Drank Last Week. So if you could think about in this past week, what you've been up to, if you've been out to eat, or maybe you popped open something special at home, what is the best thing that you've had to drink in this past week?
That is a great question. I would have to say I just actually put on the new Riesling by the glass at Statebird, and it blew me away. It was the Prince Trocken from the Rheingau in 2012 that blew my mind, actually. So clean, fresh, bone dry, vibrant, and 2012 for me is really what's going on right now for German Riesling.
All right. You know, I usually like to talk about a wine, but I just went to the new bar at the Nomad and had some just truly spectacular cocktails, including a tiki cocktail there. I know that you guys have a pretty impressive, or at least a couple of tiki bars out there. I think in New York, tiki drinks are slowly re-infiltrating and showing up at some great places like the Clover Club and the Nomad Bar. But the cocktails at the new bar at the Nomad were by far the most impressive, most amazing things that I drank in this past week. All right, so going back to you, Mark. You know, we have something really, really kind of funny in common. At Statebird, you work for a chef owner who's married to the pastry chef owner. And at our restaurants, Gabe and Catherine Thompson are the chef and pastry chef as well. Can you tell us how you met them and what your relationship is like with them?
Let's see. I think I met Stuart and Cole and Nicole when they were the chef team at Rubicon. And I as soon as I basically had my first dinner with them, I was hooked. I mean, they're great, great people, and they're extremely, extremely talented. I mean, before I even really got to know them, they were basically my favorite chef team in California. But yeah, we our friendship formed, and I don't want to say open State Bird. I think I was eating there 3 days a week minimum the first 6 months they were open, and that's when Stuart and Nicole had had came up to me and asked me about doing the wine list, and so I said, perfect. I could be here more than 3 or 4 days a week then. Fantastic.
You just add a couple of days, and you never have to leave.
Exactly.
So the style of service at State Bird is kind of dim sum-esque. You know, unfortunately, I haven't had the chance to dine there myself, but I've heard such incredible things from enough people that I'm super excited to have you on the show, including our producer, Jory, and our director of operations, Heather Morgan, as well as a ton of great people in the industry have told me about how great it is. But tell us about how you incorporate the dim sum style of service with wine service.
Well, the way I kind of look at it is that it seems like it, you know, everything comes to you on carts and trays, and you have the guest has so many options. There's so many different flavors that you can try and engage with throughout your whole meal. And so as a result, I wanted to make sure that the same could be said for wine. So what we try and do is I have about 85% of the list is offered by the glass. And so we want to just make sure we mirror that diversity on the list as well. You know, it's a modest list, anywhere from 40 to 50 selections. So we want to make sure that we are able to offer as much as we can so people can, you know, do full glass, half glass, you know, bottle, what have you, and really try as many things as they'd like.
Yeah, and I'm actually looking at your list right now. You know, someone who's worked with so many wines and has spent some time in Germany, how do you narrow down such a wide selection of wines that you have available to you in San Francisco to a selection of 45?
That's really challenging. I've come from lists that were 50, 60 pages, and in retro at the time, I mean, they're a very difficult lists as well to run because they're so large. But in retrospect, I'm looking at it and going, gosh, the small list is actually tougher because there's only so much space you have, and so many placements you can give for wine, and you want to be able to give that diversity without having it be so redundant. Mm-hmm. So, I'm constantly tasting and have a large pipeline of wines that I try and keep fresh, and it's just constantly changing the list to make sure that I not only put wines on the list that match well with the cuisine, but also the wines can be that our people are familiar with and people want to drink. So, but they're constantly changing. So once I kind of work on one part of the list and get that all done, all of a sudden I turn around and another part needs to be worked on. So it's ever changing.
And, the list is broken up into, to start, sparkling wine, white wine, red, and German Riesling. German Riesling has its own section of the list. Is that because of your time spent in Germany, or is that because you feel like these wines are particularly great with the flavors? I've always thought that was one of the real interesting curiosities of the wine world, the way that German wine goes so well with Asian food, even though there's, you know, so little in common with maybe the cultures, and they're so far away, but it's kind of a match made in heaven.
Yeah, it comes down to that, actually. I feel like German Riesling in particular, I mean, there's Riesling grown all over the world, but I feel like German Riesling in particular is really one of the best wines to match with food. It covers so many different flavor styles itself, you know, with bone dry to off dry to medium sweet, all the way to sweet, and I think the acidity that German Riesling has just works so well with different flavors that you may not necessarily think would work. And for that reason, I kind of gave it its own category, because one German Riesling doesn't necessarily, to me, cut it as far as being able to really express what we're able to do with it.
And you have quite a selection of aperitifs as well. And these aperitifs kind of more known in European drinking culture, and they've definitely infiltrated the way that we drink in America. Why have you chosen to have such an extensive aperitif selection in such a limited menu? And I think it's badass that you're pouring Pouffinet Vachon by the glass, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, we wanted to be able, I think because we can only offer beer and wine to our guests, we wanted to make sure we're able to stretch that that limitation as far as we can. And so, again, because we've got, we're able to offer so many, our dishes come out in, you know, smaller form, and we can offer so many, we wanted to be able to do that as much as we can with beverage. And so, yeah, I mean, I think vermouth, there's definitely different styles of vermouth we wanted to be able to offer, and sherry, and especially that the Vachon, I was excited to be able to offer that because it's got a kind of a nuttiness and savory quality to it, and kind of unctuousness that really is surprisingly incredible with State Bird's cuisine. So again, it's just we wanted to be able to offer another level of beverage so people could kind of really run the gamut if they want it. So people can come in and try different styles. They can come in and have a glass of, you know, a glass of Riesling or a glass of Sauvignon Blanc if they want. So just trying to get something out there for everyone and try and make it as cuisine friendly as possible. That said, not everyone is going to go with every cuisine. So we're, you know, we want to make sure we have things that people want to just drink when they just want to have a glass of red wine.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I love small lists that are curated by people who really, really know what they're doing. I think of a couple here in New York, like Franny's and Vinegar Hill House. And you're like, wow, I wonder, like, you look at each wine on the list and you can kind of see the wine director's wheels turning and see where they're going with each of them. And the ones that you don't know, you kind of want to know more about. I'm curious as to why on a small edited list you felt that you should have some wines like, or at least the Prosecco in general. Not that I have anything against Prosecco, but it's something that we choose not to serve at the restaurant. You have a small edited list. Was this kind of a layup to your guests who might want to just order something easy, or what was your thinking behind listing Prosecco?
Yeah, it was exactly that. We want to make sure it's someone. I mean, I think as you know, sparkling wine in general, no matter where it's made in the world, is typically pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. And so, just from a pricing perspective, trying to make sure there's, you know, again, something for everyone. We wanted to make sure we're able to offer that. And so, Prosecco, is kind of filling that exact placement. It's there for people that just want a glass of bubbles and it'll, you know, it'll go well with the cuisine, but it's not, you know, it's nothing that's gonna blow your doors off. But honestly, I think for Prosecco, it's a delicious Prosecco. So yeah, I mean, there's going to be certain placements on there that are there to make sure that people they just want to come in and not really study the list and want to just have a glass of bubbles and not spend $15-$18 on a glass of sparkling wine. That's what it's there for.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most requested wine that we don't have.
Yeah.
And I've been finding, you know, I used to not even taste it, and lately I've been having our distributors taste us on Proseccos, and there are more and more interesting, well-made mm-hmm. Proseccos coming out. And I think that, you know, there might be a day where I rethink our thoughts on it, because there's really, really good stuff with Prosecco.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you want to. I have that battle of, okay, this list is not for me every night. I'm not coming into Steep Bird every night and drinking everything on the list. I want to make sure that although the wines are, you know, are delicious and well made, I want to make sure it definitely is something for everyone.
What's on your list that is really for the geeks? What is something that is a true like find that you're super super excited about?
Well, I think the Vachon definitely is up there for that. Let's see. I think we've got. I think we just put on the Trousseau Gris.
I was just looking at that. The Zeitgeist Trousseau Gris.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
cool. You're pouring exactly. By the glass too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I think that's kind of fun. I just put on a Gamay. I think Gamay goes really well with our cuisine as well, and we just put on a Gamay from Robert Cyril from the Cote Rouennaise in the Loire Valley that I think is just beautiful.
That's one of those really good wines that I kind of think of Gamay like Barbera, in that you can they're both really good food pairing wines, but they work really well for people who are super into wine or people who just want something nice to drink. They're good for industry people or beginners. Do you agree
exactly.
with that? Yeah. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take just a quick break, and we'll be back with more of Mark from State Bird Provisions.
Michter's Whiskey is a proud sponsor of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. If you drink the whiskey that warmed General Washington's troops at Valley Forge, does that make you a patriot? Not necessarily, but it indicates you appreciate that Michter sets the standard for highest quality, limited production whiskeys. America's first whiskey distilling company, Michter's rich history dates back to 1753, when a farmer in Schaeferstown, Pennsylvania, distilled his first batch of whiskey from Hardy Rye. At one point, a master distiller left his family's well-known distillery to join Michter's so he could be at a smaller, less cost-conscious company where he could make the finest whiskey, cost be damned. Ask your bartender or retailer for Michter's whiskey today. Chatham Imports is the national sales agent for Michter's Distillery. For more information, please visit www.michters.com. That's www.michters.com.
And we're back with Mark Glassberg, the wine director of State Bird Provisions in San Francisco, here on In the Drink. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Mark, I did want to ask you about some of your favorite dishes on the menu. And what are some just really awesome pairings that you like to have? What's something that you know it's like your go-to pairing for the menu and one of your favorite wines?
Oh, gosh, that's tough because the dishes change so much, as do the wines, but there are definitely a few things that have a hard time leaving the menu and the list. What I think is really fun about what Stuart and Nicole have put together is they've got a pancake and toast section on the menu, and one of their classics is this sweet corn and garlic chive Mount Tam short stack. So it's this beautiful, savory sweet corn pancake where they've melted the Mount Tam cheese between each layer, and a glass of our Peak Chablis with that will put you out for a good 15-20 minutes, just let you relax and enjoy that, or seconds rather, maybe minutes, I don't know, but maybe the seconds will.
Nice, that sounds amazing. That sounds absolutely amazing. And is it, so the wine list you're constantly rotating as well?
Yes, yeah, because it's so modest in size, we have to I want to make sure it stays as fresh as possible, so yeah, I'm constantly kind of changing it around and finding things that could be fun. I actually recently found, if you can believe this, Sanford and Benedict created a California Cabernet back from 1979.
No way.
And it was presented to me. It's been sitting, been sitting in a cellar for 25 years, what have you. And I just put that on the list and had a couple of bottles and guests have given me great feedback on it, and it's still amazing and fresh and actually a great pairing with a lot of our heartier dishes because it's not over the top with fruit. It's really Bordelaise in style, and really, really fun. So,
yeah, I'm a big fan of California Cabernet from the 70s in general, but hard to find them. Where did you come across this?
Just one of the brokers that I work with had a couple of portfolios he was showing me, and then the last thing he pulled out of his bag, he said, "Yeah, I know this is going to look kind of weird, but he says I have this California Cabernet from Sanford and Benedict." I was like, "Cabernet from Sanford and Benedict? That sounds bizarre." Okay, he opened it, and yeah, it basically was. The fills were perfect, and forks were great. It was almost like it hadn't moved, and they just slapped labels on it and sent it out of this guy's cellar. It's been sitting us for there for a couple of decades now, but it's incredible, and it's not overpowering, and a perfect time to drink it. And price point was right, which is obviously very tough to find anything that's 25 or 30 years old where the price point works. So exciting to have that on.
Yeah, great, great values, great wines if you can find them and if they were stored well. I think probably in the 70s, people weren't thinking of storing these wines the way that people at the time were maybe thinking of storing, you know, great top first growth Bordeaux or Grand Cru Burgundy. So to find them, it's such a gem, such a joy. That's pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool. I mean, that might be. If I'm not drinking Riesling when I come in, I might try to pull that.
Fair enough.
And this, you know, we mentioned a few times the size of the wine list. Was that an intentional decision to keep it small, or was that more based on the physical plant, the physical space that was kind of doesn't allow for a larger list?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I think originally the restaurant, previous to last October, the restaurant really could only seat up to a party of four, mm-hmm. and had, I think, about 35 seats, maybe 40 seats. And then we did a little bit of renovation, and it's been able to expand. So now we can seat up the parties of 6 to 16. And so we've expanded the list at that point, which was 30 or so, to around 40 to 50. So it's a measure of just size of the restaurant, and then just the number of guests that we could actually accommodate, as well as the space itself, because, you know, there's so much going on with, and the kitchen is totally open, and so there's carts and there's trays and there's service and guests, servers and guests, and we just simply didn't have the space to not only store the wine but be able to really appropriately service it, and so wanted to keep it modest in size, and I think it's worked out well. There's no floor sommelier. I don't work the floor, so I do, you know, a lot of staff training for both front of the house and back of the house staff to make sure everyone is well versed on all of our selections.
Okay, and so you recently also assembled a wine list for another restaurant called King Cow, a Thai restaurant that opened up last year. Tell us about what that was like, and is that something that you're going to be focusing more on as well, consulting with other restaurants?
Yeah, I do. I love consulting with restaurants. I think that was a list I put together just kind of as their opening list. And, you know, they're, again, another small restaurant, a new restaurant, so they've been able to kind of just take the reins from there. But, the original list just started and kind of wanted to just get them going. And they've been going gangbusters since they started, I want to say, you know, 5-6 months ago now. But, yeah, I really do enjoy the diversity of being able to work with different restaurant lists and different concepts, and enjoy that quite a bit.
And I mean, do you prefer Asian flavors in general?
Not. It just happened to be like that. Actually, my friend is the executive chef there, and so when they were kind of putting together the concept, and he said, "Hey, you know, would you mind being a part of it and doing the opening list?" And so I said, "Yeah, of course, happy to do it." So yeah, it's not a preference. I love that flavor profile for sure. There's so many different ways to go with Asian cuisine, but it's not anything I specifically seek out. I'll work with anything.
And I've got to ask you about this, man, because you seem really zen with your Asian, the Asian cuisine, great wine list. Obviously, you speak really eloquently about wine. On your Twitter feed, it is clear you're a big UFC fan.
That's embarrassing. Yes, I am.
How do these things work together?
They don't at all, and I think that when people that have known me for years, they find this out, and it's like, wait a minute, what? because they definitely do not go together. But I've been a fan for a bunch of years now, and it doesn't go well at all. But hey, it's okay. I like to retweet and support those guys as much as I can as well.
Is there a preferred beverage while you're watching one guy smash another guy's head into a cage?
They're all so talented. I don't know. Riesling always kind of keeps everything calm. It's low alcohol, so it keeps the crowd from being too rowdy.
All right, we're going to do some more, a few more quick fire beverage pairings, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, of course. I'll
tell you a few of my favorite things around the San Francisco area and see if you could come up with something you might like to drink with them.
Okay.
First thing, the way I would start my morning if I lived over there is with an almond croissant at Tartine Bakery, or for that matter, anything at Tartine Bakery.
That's a great, yeah, anything at Tartine Bakery, indeed. I think Blue Ball of Coffee. Do you want it alcoholic?
hey, it's all right if 8 a.m. there's no alcohol involved. So I think a Blue Ball of Coffee is a perfect start to that. And then let's progress on our day with oysters at Hog Island.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to get away from a classic pairing of champagne with oysters for me.
Nice. And do you have a preferred champagne? Anyone in the world, you choose.
Oh, gosh, that is tough. I love Jacques Solos. Yeah, I love the substance from Jacques Solos.
Hard to not love that one. And then the roast chicken at Zuni Cafe.
Ravenel, Chablis.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I wouldn't have gone there. That's a nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah, little bit of a more rich style Chablis to go with that. It sounds, you said that with such assurance that as if you had done that more than once.
I have. I just love it. I think it's an incredible pairing.
And then how about a good bratwurst in Germany?
Beer. I love a good Helles. Just kind of a slightly rich white beer with a bratwurst. It's a classic Bavarian breakfast, is a Weisswurst and a white beer in the morning. The first time I saw people eating that early, I was, my eyes popped out of my head. But yeah, I think that's an amazing breakfast, is a Weisswurst and white beer.
Yeah, right. You think like how do, in Europe in general, you see people eating like a beer, a sausage and a pretzel for breakfast, having a couple glasses of wine at lunch. Like how are you productive? Like how do you have a full work day?
Like, yeah, I know. I feel like there's a lot of napping that goes on in there.
There's gotta be. all right, Mark. Well, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. I really, really appreciate. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure as well. I appreciate you having me, Joe. Thanks so much.
When you guys are out in San Francisco, I know next time I'm out there, I'm definitely going by State Bird Provisions. I can't tell you how many people have raved to me about it, and enough that I really want to have Mark on the show. So it's been really exciting. Thank you so much. Congratulations on all the awards the restaurant's been getting, and on putting together a really awesome wine list, a really, really well-edited one. Everything on there clearly has a purpose. There's some of my favorite wines and wines that I don't know yet, but now I really want to find out more about them. So
thank you.
It's such a pleasure. And thanks to all of you for listening. This has been In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.